The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, I'm calling this one the Big Monday, the Power of Cheese edition. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Hey, Crudy, good to be with you. Thank you, Nate, working aboard our fair audience. Happy Monday to us all.
Well, we'll get to the cheese bro in the backyard headlines, Dom. Oh, and we've got a fine guest here in the Madison WMDX studios with me. He is former Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Chuck Walla. We're going to do a little inside baseball on the new legislative maps, Dom. There are Democratic pickups to be had. But of course, we should all acknowledge, gentlemen, the breaking news, the U.S. Supreme Court allowing Donald Trump to, you know, stay on the ballot in Colorado, in Maine, apparently Illinois also seeking to take him off the ballot because he is an insurrectionist, some would say. An effort afoot here in the state of Wisconsin, I think it was the Brewmeister from Minocqua Brewing, also trying to block him through action with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But Chuck Walla, let me ask you, this effort to block Trump from the ballot, I know you fear, as I do, another term of Trump, but I didn't see this as the right approach. What's your thoughts, sir?
Well, it's interesting you say that because most of the people I talk to, and of course they're Democrats, they want to see Trump taken off the ballot. My view is we're a democracy. You have to beat him. You have to go out and beat them. And if we can't beat them at the ballot box, we're not going to beat them. I think we will be able to defeat Donald Trump because I think women know that abortion is on the ballot. People know that our democracy is at stake. And I think at the end of the day, we'll be able to do it. But I am afraid that if in a democracy you remove someone from the ballot, no matter what he's done, before he has a chance to have the people speak, I think that people will not react well to that. And by the way, you know, Illinois, why do you have to have him on with a ballot? He's not going to win it in Illinois.
Well, if the Constitution, if the 14th Amendment, Section 3, and we've got some that quote it to us often, if that's how they define an insurrectionist and the pain of that means you can't be on the presidential ballot, I can see why some would want to go that direction. But that was not what the Supreme Court said. And I would remind my co-panelist, Dominic, we argued on this point, but the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Crudy 9-0.
Well, again, I would consider, Crudy, that I was not taking that action, but we were making the argument. And a couple of things they did not do. They did not say that Trump did not engage in insurrection, right? And now, based on some of the reading that I've done of the reporting on this, the liberal justices joined by Amy Covid Barrett, saying that the conservatives went too far in what they were doing. So, I mean, I'm just curious now if Donald Trump engaged in insurrection, I think we can agree that he did. Let's, for that purpose, how in what way and how exactly do we affect getting Donald Trump off the ballot then? There is no way to do so. There's no way to do that for any of the other federal officers. I mean, so what, we do nothing for 10 years until Congress acts? It's a very strange spot to be in my opinion.
It
what
is
do you
strange.
Think, Chuck?
It is strange, but if, you know, again, I'm an attorney as well as involved in politics, and one argument that could be made is that the court has not yet spoken on the issue of whether Donald Trump can take office. If he's on the ballot, he's on the ballot, but if he were to be elected, that could be, you know, the Supreme Court is supposed to be a body that only takes cases that it must take, and it's supposed to decide things as minimally as they can. They're to intrude in our society as little as possible. One argument that some people have made is that even if Trump were to win, he is still an insurrectionist. And at that point, perhaps the 14th Amendment would be invoked and taken to court, and perhaps Donald Trump would not be allowed to serve. I think that's a dicey proposition, but it might be a point where the court would look at it differently.
I'm less convinced. Chuck Kwala, he is the former Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader. Now, we'll argue more about this point of high order, but let's talk about the Wisconsin maps, gentlemen. New maps, legislative maps here in the state of Wisconsin. And for those that don't know the history, the Republicans actually handed Governor Tony Evers, the Democrat, back his own maps. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, this new liberal blocked Supreme Court, had said the current maps unconstitutional. They fail to be contiguous, and for state constitutional reasons, because you want to keep it out of the U.S. Supreme Court, you gotta create new maps, or the legislature and the governor have to agree. And as a shock to this guy, I got to tell you, Chuck, they did. They put new maps in place, and Will claims they're not going to sue to overturn the maps. So I think we got some working maps here, Chuck, and the maps give you some optimism. Let's look to where Dom's at over in the eastern part of the state, southeast Wisconsin. What are the new maps going to mean for small-D democracy, Chuck Kwala?
Well, one key thing is I think that the Democrats have a real opportunity to win the 8th Senate district. Jody Habish-Senekin ran in a special election, did win way ahead of where that district would have expected to be. I know that there are a lot of discussions going on, but if for some reason Jody Habish-Senekin runs again, she will actually have run in more of that district than the person who's going to run against her, Dewey Strobel, because Knodel, who was in that district before, has already said he will not be running. So that's one pickup for the Democrats.
Knodel is Dom's senator because he didn't have the courage to run against the man. Go ahead, Dom.
Oh, man. Gentlemen, the Wisconsin Examiner is reporting today, I don't know if you saw this, State Senator Andre Jacques has also entered the race for the 8th Congressional District.
The more the merrier up there. I think that there is a chance that Dr. Kristen Lierley may be running for that seat. And although I would call that seat unwinnable for most Democrats, for Dr. Lierley, I think there's a real opportunity, especially this is an OBGYN doctor who delivers babies every day in rural areas, something that we're desperate to have around our country and our state. And yet she's very strongly an advocate and does perform abortions. I think that women in that district have an opportunity to speak, and you could hear them roar. And I think that it's going to be a stand-up for women race up there, and she has a chance to win. And I would love to see her running against Andre Jacques. I think he's the perfect foil.
What a contrast that would be. Oh, talking about God. Beauty and the Beast. Holy cow. Dr. Kristen Lierley, one of our favorites. She's an often guest on this show. Chuck Kwala, we'll invite you back, but we're not done with you yet. Let's talk about Milwaukee, though. Milwaukee, sir. The suburbs especially, because they're turning bluer each and every cycle.
Absolutely. And that's a good reason also why the 8th Senate District, in addition to having a great candidate potentially over there, it's not done yet. But in addition to that, the burbs are turning more blue, and that will help in the 8th. But it will also help, not this year, and this is one of the challenges of the Governor Evers maps, is that they leave the 5th and the 21st over to their odd number districts, so they will not be up until the gubernatorial election. The good thing is these districts are definitely competitive and winnable Democratic, potential Democratic seats. So if you look, for example, at the 5th, Joe Biden won that seat, by the new seat, 50.8% to 47.4%. Mandela Barnes won that seat 50.5% to 49.2%. So I think that at the end, or 49%. So at the end of the day, these are competitive seats. Now, the 21st, that's another seat kind of in the southern part. It goes down into Racine County and has a fair amount of Racine County, but comes up into Milwaukee County. And that seat, it actually should have more of Racine County. That seat, definitely Biden won it 50.4% to 48.1%. But Mandela Barnes lost at 49.5 to 50.3. And the reason I cite those two races They're both extremely tight races. One, the Democrats across the state slightly lost by about 1%, Mandela Barnes' race against Ron Johnson. And with Biden, he won by about 1%. So those two races give you a pretty good idea. The other thing is I like the Biden race, of course, because that's a rematch of him and Trump. Mandela, remember, is in the gubernatorial year. So you got to look at these things in context. Yeah, yeah, and right. The 21st will be up in the gubernatorial year, which is when Mandela ran.
Now, Chuck, while perhaps it was before we got on air, and excuse me if I'm asking you to be repetitive, what about Appleton? What about that Senate seat?
Appleton.
Fox Valley, my old stomping grounds, Chuck.
Appleton is a slam dunk. You can move up there, Dom, and you'll be Democrat for the rest of the decade, at least. They have an amazing candidate up there, Chris Allfime, who is going to do well. She's been working on this for quite a while. That seat is about 56% Democratic. It's a slam dunk. In fact, I think I will probably get a call from Chris after this is over saying, what are you doing? You're killing my fundraising. What's up there, buddy? But she's going to win that on a slam dunk. And then Green Bay. And the good thing is that seat up in Appleton will be up this year. It's the 18th. It is now the 18th. And up in Green Bay, the 30th has been made. Green Bay has been put back together. And there's a better chance of winning the Green Bay seat as well. And the 30th is something that I think we have. So here's what's going to happen to get the majority. This year, you're going to get the 14th in the Dane County area, the 8th in the Milwaukee area. Definitely Appleton, you're going to get the 18th. And then you get the 30th. That's a 4-seat pickup. That takes you from 11 to 15. That's probably about all you could do. There are some creative things that might happen that could make that even better. But if you pick up all four, you're in. Now, the next time around, you heard about the 5th and the 21st. There's also the 17th over in Dane County. That is going to be a slam dunk, even though Howard Markline takes it now. So you're getting that one for sure. If you took the four this year, then you got to win the 17th and take one of the other two, the 5th or the 21st. Now, if you only take three this year, then you got to run the table next year or 2 years from now. So it's tight, but it's doable. And the Assembly, a tough race this coming year. But again, hopefully they get really tight and then they are able to pick it up 2 years later.
Chuck Walla, you've been full of insights. Anything yeah, man. We didn't
you
ask
you? Of the map, man.
Well, I think that the question is, how big an impact is the Trump-Biden race going to have on all this? And I think it will be enormous. If Donald Trump were able to get a 3 or 4 point margin in this state, then all the things I'm saying, all bets are off. But if Biden is able to squeak through, or even if Trump wins by a small amount, I think Democrats are in a very good position to have this happen.
Chuck Walla, former Senate Majority Leader Democrat, insider, soon to be friend of the Devil's Advocates. Thanks for coming around today, Chuck.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Chuck.
More of this big show, more of your calls. It's a big cheesy, the Power of Cheese Monday edition, 844-967-2789.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocate.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join the conversation anytime, 844-967-2789.
Down a road tripping across this great state, somewhere there's a rock and roll station playing Van Halen's Panama.
I guarantee it.
Thank you to our most recent guest, the fine one, Chuck Walla, the former Senate Majority Leader, great state of Wisconsin. And Chuck was the consummate insider, man. And anyways, appreciated. First opportunity I ever met this man face-to-face. Very nice to meet
him. Yeah,
that's
cool. And I love the numbers, man. Like, breaking it down gives me some hope. You know, it's like one thing to know, it feels like it's going to get better and all that, but to have it broken down and like spelled out, laid out for me, that was very insightful.
It's a little hard to govern from the super minority like the Democrats have had to do here for like a decade. Not because of better candidates and better ideas, as Robin Voss would have.
No, sure? They keep telling us that.
Well, that's what he keeps saying. So looking forward to the new maps. But Dom, the national headlines of the day, it's got a lot to do with the U.S. Supreme Court. And I can't tell you, this was a shocking ruling. I listened to a lot of the prior questioning of the council. So I knew there was a skepticism amongst all the justices about disqualifying Donald Trump from the presidential ballot. But, you know, in this case, it hurts a little that I'm always this right.
Come on. It's like you were going out on a ledge and thinking that this is what it was going to be. I don't know that anybody said, oh, they're definitely going to keep him off the ballot. But the way in which apparently they wrote this judgment is a little concerning. The Washington Post reporting, while the decision was unanimous, the court's three liberal justices also wrote separately, saying the conservative majority went too far and decided an issue that was not before the court in an attempt to insulate all alleged insurrectionists from future challenges to their holding office, quote, unquote. And of course, then the question is, well, what about Dobbs? You know, I mean, they say, well, they went so off far on this one, but not on Dobbs. So the philosophy has seemingly been inconsistent, let's just say, with the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, you mean the conservative branch of the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, yeah. If you've lost Coney Barrett,
what does that tell you?
Well, it tells maybe she's not quite the hack that some are.
Well, it depends on what the question is. Also, Washington Post continues in their article. It posted up on the Facebook page, The Devil's Advocates Radio. Go check it out. The court's opinion Monday did not address the question of whether Trump engaged in insurrection. It also did not list a single justice as the primary author. They did it per curiam in effort to show unanimity. Yes, the justices drew a clear distinction.
I love it when it's someone else that gets stuck on a word.
You're right. Here's what they said. States may disqualify persons holding or attempting to hold state office, but states have no power under the Constitution to enforce Section 3 with respect to federal offices, especially, Crudy, the presidency. Five of the six conservative justices went further, writing that the disqualification clause can only be enforced for a national office through federal legislation, not a federal court challenge or non-legislative action by Congress. Their quote, responsibility for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates rests with Congress and not the states. Who's the big conservative guy, Ludig? In his way. I didn't think he was very optimistic on this particular judgment. The three liberal justices, in their sharply worded concurrence, said the majority's approach, quote, shuts the door on other potential means of federal enforcement. We cannot join an opinion that decides momentous and difficult issues unnecessarily. So, yeah, there we go. And Trump, of course, is out there saying, oh, what a great job. But, you know, of course, they have other things to decide as well. And while I would agree that most folks, even Crudy was right, man, going off on a limb on this one. I think this is about the same as the absolute immunity issue. There's no way that's going to be allowed. It's like there's very unlikely that they were going to wipe Trump off the ballot in this case.
Well, we didn't know until oral arguments, and you haven't heard the oral arguments yet. April 22nd, I believe, when we're going to hear the oral arguments on the question of absolute immunity. Now, yeah, it seems ludicrous, right?
Man, I mean, come on, man.
It seems ludicrous.
We did hear the oral arguments in the appellate court, and they were ridiculous. What, they're going to get better?
Dominic, as to this ruling today, a little more coverage at the Post. Republicans celebrated the Supreme Court's decision to allow Donald Trump to remain on the election ballot in Colorado and reverse a Colorado Supreme Court ruling that disqualified him because of his role in the deadly January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. And the decision came on the eve of Super Tuesday. You know, like 900 delegates being awarded on the Republican side tomorrow, Dom, when 15 states, including Colorado, will hold Republican nominating contests. Almost immediately after the ruling was made public, Trump posted a brief, all-caps message on his social media site. I read it for you, Dom. Big win for America! 3 exclamation points. I think he's excited by this one. Moments later, he referred to the next question before the justices that could affect his electability. He has challenged a ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit that said he is not protected from criminal prosecution by presidential immunity, the Supreme Court's decision to take that case delayed Trump's federal election interference trial in D.C. I know that one's pissing me off until at least late summer. Just a few months before the election, the Supreme Court is scheduled to hear that case next month. But in a radio interview shortly after Monday's ruling, wasn't with the greatest radio show ever, obviously, Dom, Trump said it will be of equal importance how the court rules on a sweeping claim of immunity from prosecution over actions taken while president. Well, I would say yes, more important, and you're going to lose that one, but here's what he told Boston radio host Howie Carr. You know, because when the Supreme Court rules in your favor, who doesn't go run into Howie Carr in Boston? A president has to have immunity or they won't be able to function. They'll be ceremonial. So I think it's a very important one coming up. Now, what say you, Dom? The more important case, presidential immunity, we all think we know how it's going to be ruled on. But then again, there was some question when we first debated the topic of, you know, the whole 14th Amendment, the fact there had been due process in Colorado and all these different things. And
well, and yes, and I get federal
fair-minded people of differing opinions had differing opinions that day.
Sure, sure.
But we didn't know until we heard the oral arguments that this was a doomed cause.
Another point on this, though, Noah Bookbinder, the president of the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, they helped bring the lawsuit. They said, he said, by not addressing the insurrection question, the high court let that finding from Colorado stand. He said the voters, not the courts, would have to pass final judgment on Trump's conduct. Quote, the Supreme Court removed an enforcement mechanism, and in letting Trump back on the ballot, they failed to meet the moment. But it is now clear that Trump led the January 6th insurrection, and it will be up to the American people to ensure accountability.
Accountability. That's what you get right here. Devil's advocates. Nothing but accountability. And Dom, 844-967-2789. Your calls could be next.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. A big Monday. A big cheesy Monday, Dom. We'll get to the cheese, bro. The newest. But, did you see what the wanker had to say? Because, you know.
Is that our Walker walk-up music?
I literally hate that guy. Just like the Dropkick Murphys. And we'll get to the calls in just a moment. Please be patient at 844 967-2789. Tomorrow, Super Tuesday. And apparently Trump will remain on the ballot thanks to a unanimous acknowledgement that Crudy was right by the U.S. Supreme Court. But the newest reporting at the Journal Sentinel, because one must always question, what's the wanker think about that?
I wake up every morning thinking.
Ahead of Super Tuesday, former Wisconsin Governor Scotty Wanker, Walker, who briefly ran for president in 2015. Did he? How'd that work out for you, wanker?
Very briefly.
Said he doesn't see a way for former UN ambassador Nikki Haley to secure the Republican nomination. I like Nikki Haley. We served together as governors. In case you forgot, he was a governor. I think she did a good job as ambassador, but I don't see a pathway for her forward, not just on Tuesday, but overall. Now, Wanker said that Sunday on CNN State of the Union. Yeah, she
like
should
ever?
Delete her account.
She has no path forward. Not politically, not spiritually, not physically. She has no path forward. What?
Dominic Walker, at one point a front runner in his race, ran for about 2 months. I thought it was 71 days specifically. Despite losing to former President Donald Trump in early contest, Haley supporters are urging her to stay in the race as long as she can, even until the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee this July. Well, the fact that the other guys under 91 felonious criminal indictments, that would encourage me to stay in the race a bit longer. And she won over the weekend, Dom.
She won
D.C., baby. 63% of the electorate, Republicans in D.C. I mean, she must have gotten 1,000 votes. It was a small sample.
What's that? Trump is going to a criminal trial the end of this month. What, right? March 25th?
Yes, sir.
11 days? I'm sorry, more than 11 days. 1, 2, 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today, Donald Trump will be in at least they'll start jury selection, right? Why wouldn't Nikki Haley stay in?
Well, because Scotty Wanker predicted there would be a blowout on Super Tuesday and pointed to polls in battleground states that show Trump ahead of President Joe Biden. Now, Trump is favored to win Super Tuesday contest, which, although Haley won her first primary in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, she took 62% of the vote. Crudy said 63, though only a little more than 2,000 people voted in the GOP primary. Not a very Democratic, Republican stronghold, D.C., right? They all live in Arlington.
Did she get any delegates for it?
Yeah, she won 19, something like that.
All right.
19-0. She wiped the board. And Wisconsin doesn't vote on Super Tuesday. We get to vote April 2nd. 15 states and one U.S. territory head to the polls tomorrow. Wisconsin isn't one of them. Wisconsin voters head to the polls on April 2nd. That's a Tuesday, Dom. It's like a month from now. The Badger State is towards the end of the primary schedule. 12 states hold the Republican primary after Wisconsin. Connecticut, Delaware, New York, and Rhode Island share Wisconsin state. We're mostly better than those states. When asked about the landscape in Wisconsin, Wanker suggested voters are focused on economic issues and families aren't feeling positive effects from Bidenomics. When it comes to the economy, when it comes to high prices, when it comes to public safety and border security, if those issues are on the ballot, Joe Biden loses, Walker says. And that's a man that knows something about losing, Dom. Vice President Kamala Harris, if you're unaware, Dom, is coming to my hometown Wednesday. I've invited the VP on this fine show. We'll see if they take us up on it. 844-967-2789. Call us, Kamala. You ready for some callers, Dom?
Yeah, let's get some of the
yet see the vice president in the queue, but there's still time.
No. We'll get to her right away when she calls.
Mark from the SAC. Buddy, you had to be a little miffed at the U.S. Supreme Court. I know you thought Trump should have been blocked from the ballot, if I recall.
Hey, Mark.
I think he should have been blocked nationwide because, you know, that, and I guess I disagree with the Supreme Court, but I would think that the 14th Amendment takes place automatically, and that placement back on the ballot is something that takes the act of Congress to do. But what do I know? I'm just semi-literate, and I can read the Constitution, read what it actually says. That the fact that, you know, Donald Trump has any support at all just shocks me. That these people are willing to vote for a man who has now been adjudicated as a sexual assaulter, and a man who has bragged about being a sexual assaulter. He's bragged about it, for goodness sake. A man who has defamed people and, you know, adjudicated to have defamed people is meaning for that. A guy that has been found now, you know, guilty of fraud. I mean, that, and this crap that, oh, nobody was harmed, and nobody harmed. The truth was harmed. I mean, as Dom has pointed out, the truth was harmed, and it's only by, you know, the grace of, you know, the luck of the draw that, you know, that the money didn't go south, and that more people were out of money than were actually out of money, the money that they're due. I mean, that Donald Trump cheated on those forms. How can you declare 10,000 square feet is 30,000 square feet?
I'm really bad at math. I'm not good at math on the radio.
Assault, fraud, you know, hoarding secret documents, lying about it, obstruction of justice, you know, trying to overturn the government. Those things I would consider to be, you know, negative attributes to a person.
But CJ would see them as the sort of things that would make a great candidate for the presidency.
Well, what people like when conservatives will really finally turn their back on Donald Trump is when he runs out of money. That's the real crime.
Well, when they run out of money, because they're feeding his financial needs, are they not? At least $50 million in legal fees last year alone. CJ, he's your kind of guy.
Hello, CJ.
You guys are taking my call today. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, good evening. You know, Dom, I'm going to give you a chance to reprieve yourself because being the civic radio truth detector, you said Lincoln's Riley's murderer came over when Trump was in office.
I never said that. That's incorrect. I would, but I didn't say anything about where she came from.
So when did he come over?
Well, I believe he came over under the Biden administration, but I also believe that it was the Trump policy for Venezuela that allowed more Venezuelans to come over to the United States, CJ.
It's a one-off, CJ. You know what I mean, dude? We're not setting national policy because of one tragedy in Georgia.
Oh, yes, we are, because the country is well aware of it, finally, and the press can't cover it up anymore. So you guys can deflect, but this is all under Joe Biden. We are less safe and less prosperous, and the truth be told.
But the crime rates are going down, CJ, under Joe Biden. So if we look at the national crime rates, they're actually going down substantially, CJ.
Oh, man. Oh, they are.
Well, that's just facts, dude.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. May surprise you, because that's not what they tell you on Fox News, buddy. But if we talk about an individual criminal act, whether it's someone here with legal status or not, is it more or less of a tragedy? Because I know Dom and I heard the gleeful tones of right-wing talk radio, CJ, and they mirror yours. You know, those that would revel in the tragedy if they could blame it on Joe Biden. It's very ghoulish, CJ. I don't know if you realize this. It sounds kind of ghoulish, but it's like if my kid's dead and they were killed by a legal or an illegal, does it give them back to me? Because it doesn't. And, you know, quite frankly, whether or not a singular illegal alien, as CJ would probably call them, killed a woman in Georgia or not, I don't know if you know this, man, but there's lots of domestic stuff that happens all over this nation. Lots of stalkers.
Well, that's fine, because those are our fellow citizens, perpetuating crime against.
But we never try to stop them from having weapons or AR-15s or guns. Whether or not, I mean, we can't get Republican support for red flag laws. So we don't actually ever try to take the guns away from anyone. But God forbid they came across the border during the Biden administration, because then we got an issue to beat up the former, or I guess he's the current president. Your guys is the former. You know, so when you allow, MBS to murder an American journalist on your watch, Jamal Khashoggi, that's all cool because, you know, they gave Jared $2 billion afterwards. That doesn't seem unsavory at all. Not compared to a singular murder that has nothing to do with Joe Biden. But it happened on Biden's watch, so let's beat him up with it. I'm getting so sick of that crap.
844-967-2789. And I know all the conservatives are very concerned about law and order. Perhaps you should maybe read 91 federal charges against the guy you support above and beyond the actual convictions of the things that he's done and the things that he says. But, you know, better candidates, better messages. 844-967-2789. Jeannie from Eau Claire, you're up. Jeannie, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, sister, how you doing?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. Great show as usual. Well, you know, I just like to ask people who call in that bring up this one incident, because I wonder what the response is to all the mass school shootings, shootings in churches, shooting Las Vegas concerts, shooting at parades. Let's see, how many more shootings in areas? Oh, grocery stores, we can't forget that one. Well, what, my goodness sakes, who don't respond to that? Who don't respond when there's a border bill that's there, but they want to keep the beat on Biden when they had one of the best border crossing bills and, you know, to protect our border. And they said, no way. You know, how many times do we have to wait with knuckles clenched? When are these guys going to pass a budget? I mean, I'd like to make a six-figure salary for sitting on my butt and playing political games during my time. I'm getting paid by my constituents through their tax dollars to represent them. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, and you guys have a great day, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Appreciate the passion, as always.
It is past 4:20, so you could literally put it in your smike and in your pipe and smoke it.
Monday, man, these Mondays are tough.
Not as bad as Trump's weekend. I don't care how bad my Monday mouth gets. Trump all weekend could not speak incompetent sentences, but guy's the old one.
Right. I mean, I saw a little bit, man, of him mumbling and jumbling and I felt like he got exasperated at some point.
Argentina, he's a great guy.
Yeah. What? Come on. And Joe Biden's the one. Joe Biden. I mean, they're both old, and they probably don't have the same things going on, but something's going on with Trump, certainly.
844-967-2789. Steven from Green Bay. Welcome, Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Where do I start?
Quickly, because I didn't give you a lot of time. You got like a minute.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Well, you know, CJ, you call in a lot and you spew a lot of things that aren't true. Maybe you should read a book or an article or anything other than, you know, what Fox News tells you. You might be enlightened a little bit and come on here and actually, you know, sound somewhat educated instead of like a blabbering two-year-old like you do now. That's all.
Well, you got to be careful because even reading the Chiron on the Fox News, they sometimes tell the truth on the Chiron, not the host so much, but the Chiron, way more accurate than the content of their shows.
Their opinion hosts, perhaps.
But
just
this
entertainment. No one expects Tucker Carlson to be telling the truth.
But they got some dead white girl in Georgia. It's a tragedy. Let's tell everybody. And it's Joe's fault. More devils.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can call us, join us, 844-967-2789, or you can download the super cool Civic Media app. Take the Devils with you everywhere you go. Click to text, click to call. Look for it on your favorite app store.
I've only got one favorite app store. CIOS, because I got an Apple. Others might have others, but I don't like the Google. The Google scares me. I don't even like my Google calendar. It betrayed me last week.
I love the Google Maps. I'm not a fan of the Apple Maps, So I don't use the Apple Maps.
Hence,
you know, the one that kept yelling at you, giving you the wrong directions when we were coming back from Detroit? Yeah, not
great. No, that was my car's navigation, as you were quick to point out on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
844-967-2789. Every good reason for you to be a bitch for 6 hours. Dick from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Well, thanks, Dom, for stealing my thunder. My best of the weekend, too, was Argentina. He's a great guy. I mean, he was so screwed up this weekend. It was beyond belief. But do give him a little credit. You heard this earlier today, didn't you? That he did give Nancy Pelosi credit for winning the D.C. primary, the first Democratic women to win it. That was great. Well, I heard it this morning on Stephanie Miller.
No, he didn't. He did the conflation again, the interjection or whatever he called it.
All of it.
Yeah. He's doing it on purpose. Like he's being sarcastic and smarmy, Dick.
He's just
way ahead of us on all of this.
And here's the other thing that you already brought up, both of you. He's spending money like a drunken sailor, and they're going to be out of money, and he's going to bankrupt all the down ballot people as well. Yeah. This money doesn't just go to the presidential candidate, right?
Well, the National Republican Party Committee, the RNC, has like $9 million cash on hand and like $4 million in debt. And they got to support an entire electoral calendar. Now, there's not a lot of Republican senators. There's not a lot of pickup opportunities for the Dems. But they still got to defend seats. And the Derek Van Ordens defending a guy like that's not going to come cheap.
No, but, you know, and they've got to just hope for people like this, you know, Hovde, that carpetbagger that used to live in
self-funder.
Wisconsin, 5 years old.
Come on.
Well, that's what they're going to.
Laguna Beach needs representation too, Dick. I love the porn stash, though. That's a great look for you, Eric Hovde. If he does not shave that off between now and the election day, I believe Ben Vogel, who used to be with Ron Johnson, I believe Ben's over there at the Hovde campaign. We've actually invited the candidate on, but I got to tell you, I am going to make fun of the porn stash. I mean, that's not a good look, Eric.
Well, certainly. Then that's fair. I mean,
you had one for a while. Wasn't a good look on you either.
No, it is pretty amusing though. But you wear a goatee like seriously every day. I mean, come on, man. You're gonna literally comment on other people's, you know, facial decor. When you
goatee is appropriate facial hair wear in Wisconsin.
It's terrible. It's terrible, man. The only reason you got that because you can't grow a full man beard. Look at this thing. See. I mean, I got to shave all the time. It's always here. And the goatee thing, well, what is that? You're going to make fun of a guy's mustache, and you're wearing, I won't even tell you what I think it looks like. That thing? That thing? So you got a mustache and a thing on your chin, and that's super cool. But if you just do the mustache, not okay. What about just the thing on the chin? Is that okay, or is that not good?
Are we talking soul patch?
I mean, you tell me, man. You're the one critiquing everybody.
Eric Hovde has a porn stash. It's not just that he has a mustache, which in and of itself, a mustache, not the best look for a man. I've never worn just a mustache. Fu man or nothing.
All right, but you realize part of the goatee is the mustache.
But
right?
it's like matching the carpets with the drapes. You know, it's all part of the look.
I think that's something different.
Are you sure? Because I told my wife I want to make sure the carpets match the drapes. 844-967-2789.
Oh, my.
Cindy, a man with the porn stash, it's a little hard to look him in the eye, isn't it?
Hi, Cindy.
I'm not sure. I guess I'm kind of not. That's not the mode I'm in right now. I just wanted to say if the Google Maps are off, don't you think we should blame Biden for that, too?
It happened under his administration, Cindy.
Totally his
fault. I think so. We better do that. So,
any other thoughts, Cindy?
That's all you got? All right. Well,
I thought I'd pull her into the porn stash conversation, but she wasn't having it.
I don't know. It's just a little odd, Curdy.
844-967-2789. I'm going to prove you're wrong again. Hey, Matt from Fitchburg, do you have a porn stash?
I'm not really one to comment. I'm sort of going through a Captain Lou Albano phase right now.
Oh, you know, nice.
Rubber bands in there too, Matt?
Yeah.
But that means you've got the beard. If it was just the mustache, it would then you would look like the hedgehog.
Yeah, I grew it out over the pandemic, and I haven't done anything with it yet. So that's my...
Matt, I just appreciate you playing along. What did you have?
Well, I've got an ironclad talking point, and this is for people who argue Joe Biden is losing his marbles or whatever. I've got an ironclad reason why his brain is just fine. It's A-okay. And I promise you it's ironclad. Are you ready?
All right, lay it on us, Matt.
All right, here it comes. It's during the press conferences. Pretty much every other one, the press conference is over. Joe Biden turns around. He's walking off stage. Everybody's going, Mr. President, but Mr. President, but Mr. President. And he picks one question out of all that cacophony, and he has something in his head says, better go back and listen to that one, or I better go back.
He can listen. He can hear it. He can understand through all the noise what question he wants to ask. And that shows that he's totally cognitively there. Unlike my friend Argentina.
What if it's a Peter Doocy question? Then he just gives him the old, you son of a. Just well, swearing at him under his breath.
I haven't yet to hear President Biden refer to the press as the enemy of the people, the enemy of the state.
Peter Doocy has had a few choice words from Peter. Not a friend.
You are the enemy of the people.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. Some say greatest radio show ever.
It's true.
You're listening right now, and you're going to stick around because this newest Supreme Court ruling makes Donald Trump subject to blackmail. I tell you, more devils.